In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the Cubs are joined by several guests. Returning guests Miss Tammy, Chess, and Shutter, as well as new guests Shelby and Stickpup. In another Let's Talk About Kink, this time around we let some pups speak about the role they play in the community and move beyond that to the issues of consent and respect. So meander down the kinky brick road as COL 314 starts now.
One.
It's May 24th, 2015. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon.
Everybody dance now!
That makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast with Terminal Lake, episode number 214.
314.
And 314. I can count really again. And we've got a show for you today. We've got one, two, three, four people joining us today. So I'm going to do a round robin. One who just joined us, Chester, a.k.a. Shutter.
Sorry I'm late.
Thank you. I don't know where that came from.
It's okay.
But also, sorry, folks. Maybe I will have to do some editing. We also have Miss Tammy, who we haven't had on here for a while.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me.
Welcome back. We also have two more pups with us. We've got Ben, a.k.a. Stick.
Hello, this is Dog. Ah.
And we also have Shelby.
Thank you for having me, and you probably won't have me back once I'm done talking.
Oh,
you'd be surprised. But in any case, today we've got a very special show for you today. But first off, let's go and do our regular starting topics with this. Not much has been going on for me this week, but I did go see Avengers yesterday. I actually went to a movie. So I finally got to watch Avengers and then watch the last three episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh.
Which was kind of interesting. So, but I started watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then I realized, oh, this takes place after Ultron. I better hold.
So, sweet, sweet, sweet.
Yeah, so not much has been going on. We're still 4 of 10 Mythic working on our fifth boss over in World of Warcraft. So. So, Damon, what do you got?
It is official. I have signed all the 1,000 pages of paperwork and closed on the house on Friday. Woohoo! So, I will be starting my official move to the west side here soon. So, yeah.
Hooray.
Homeowner. House party.
Yeah. House party will happen. Dungeon. No dungeon. No dungeon. Yet. But the house has been signed for. Everything should be in place. And then we officially take possession on the 19th. And then we'll start the slow, gradual move then.
Excellent. And it's a pretty house.
So yeah,
and it has arches.
It has arches, yes. We'll actually be closer to Stick than we've been for a while. So yay for that as well.
Woohoo! Gary? Are you muted?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I was just saying, ow. As as I said to my best friend Heather, who is here, not on the podcast, but downstairs in my home, if anyone was to look at my naked body, they would think one of two things. I have an abusive relationship, or a relationship in which I like being abused.
Ah.
Because I have about,
are made of these.
Yeah, well, I have about 12 black and blue marks across my body in various places.
It could be a medical condition.
Did you go to a leather run and didn't tell us?
No, my mother this weekend was moved physically from one apartment to another. She's disabled and needs assistance, which basically is me doing the majority of the work. So my best friend came up from North Carolina, and we got a rental truck, which took us 9 hours to pack and load and 2 hours to unpack.
Huh.
So, because we played lots of Tetris with totes and boxes and furniture.
So you played Tetris to pack the truck, and then you had to play Jenga to unpack it.
Well, no. The point is not to make everything fall. The point is to carefully remove everything.
Well, that's the point of Jenga. Is you're supposed to take stuff out without making it fall.
Oh, I guess that's why I always lose at Jenga. Anyways,
all right, this one's gonna make it fall. No,
yeah, no, we
the other way around.
So it was a very, very long day. Well, Friday was a prep day of packing and cleaning, and then yesterday was more packing, cleaning, and actually getting the truck and packing and, you know, furniture pads and furniture dollies and all that stuff. And it was funny because this one guy goes, "You seem real professional. You have all this stuff," like all these people in the building, because my mom lives in an apartment complex and they're all watching. And I said, "Well, my father was a professional furniture mover for part of my life, so I have an idea."
Plus you're a little OCD like that.
Oh, yeah, to say the least. So we arrived at – well, long story short, because of the late night the previous night, late start in the morning, Heather and I got breakfast before we got the truck, all that crap. We didn't officially start till 12:30 in the afternoon, and we ended exactly at like 12:29 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
So when we got to my mom's new complex, it was actually 10 o'clock, which is the beginning of quiet hours, which made it very dicey.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
And we also did it all through the front door because her apartment is literally the first one inside the front door and you're supposed to use the basement entrance. And I was like, fuck that noise.
because quiet hours, we're going to have to use the front door. I'm sorry.
I'm like, I'm tired and I'm sore. And Heather was like, let's just park the truck overnight. We'll come in the morning. And I was like, no, let's at least get some furniture put in. So once we started with the furniture, that took up 2/3 of the truck. And then, you know, Heather's like, all we have is box and totes. They'll go really fast. And I was like, but I'm tired. I want to go home. So.
And she just whipped you in the chair going, no, Gary, just move it.
We kept pushing each other. Like, you know, and so we did. We were going to go to bed at like 11:30 at night, get up at 5:30 in the morning, be back at 6 because the truck had to be back at 8 a.m. It was a 24-hour rental. And I couldn't get any information on like extending it, what the cost would be. And I didn't want to pay for a whole another 24 hours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it was just – so today has been the – all right, we actually slept until we woke up sort of. We didn't really sleep in. Hmm. And then – well, after we dropped off the truck at 1 in the morning, we had breakfast at a late night place because we were starving. So today has been cleaning. It has been scrubbing walls with magic erasers and – vacuuming and renting a carpet cleaning extractor doofy. So yeah,
all the cleanings.
So the reason I'm owing is because my feet hate me with a passion of 1,000 suns. My lower back is none too happy. My whole body is just very angry. So
you just need to find a nice hot tub and our masseuse and go from there.
I so, would be for both.
I would not turn any of that down. So this gives you an insight as to, I mean, I'm 41. My friend Heather's turning 40 next year. And so I said to her at one point, because we were just drenched in sweat packing the truck. And I turned to her and I said, you know what? I just realized something really upsetting. She goes, "What's that?" We're walking back to my mom's apartment, and I said, "I am 41, and I have never had sex that made me sweat like this before."
You were having sex with the wrong people.
Well, I said, this is now on my bucket list. So, you know, she gets the biggest giggle out of it, right? You know, she's married, been in a relationship for, what is it, 8, 9 years now? And so I tell my mom at the new place, like, we had a moment where I was sitting, and they were on – We strategized. There was a three-step assembly process. One person gets the stuff off the truck, puts it on the dolly. The second person brings it into the apartment. And because I'm Mr. OCD and planned and mapped everything, I put everything where it goes. Nice. So I had a couple minutes here and there to sit and talk to mom. And I said – so I tell her what I said to Heather, and my mother just rolls her eyes and chuckles like, really, son? Seriously?
Aww.
It's like, woman, I'm in my 40s and you are in your 60s. Come on.
We're adults here.
Yeah. Would I have said this to my mother 20 years ago? Hell no. But that's
we
why
I'm... We moms get it. We get it. We might be moms, but we're not, you know, totally devoid of sexual history of our own.
Correct.
True. Huh. You just don't.
You know, the way you say that history is if once you become a mom, you have no more sex. It's depressing.
Oh, no. That's not the case at all.
Not good. For Miss Tammy, it's not.
Not for me.
Well, let's keep moving on. That's where the three yes. of us of hopes have been.
Yes.
How about you guys? Anything cool going on since we last spoke? Which for some of you is never, and some of you it's a few weeks, and some of you it's been like a year.
Well, for me, since we've last spoke or done this, went to Claw. That was great. You guys already know that. Last week, I finished every single one of my assignments, and I have no more classes at University of North Dakota.
Yay!
I'm not done. I just don't have any more classes to take there.
No.
Well...
In just a few weeks, like 6 or 7 weeks, I'll be going to England, where I will be living with Bruce, and I will finish school up there.
Ah.
Aww. Yay.
That should sweet. Be fun.
And,
well, let's see what yeah, I've been stop. Doing. I competed in a leather contest in November, and I won. I am the current Miss Great Lakes Olympus Leather. And Great Lakes Olympus. And I go to Atlanta this year to compete for the international title. So as part of that, I have been kind of traveling around a bit. I was in Detroit. I've been up to Cincinnati. Went to, let's see, where did I go? Oh, I've been to Lexington, Indianapolis, not anywhere too far. Although Detroit was an experience in and of itself, let me just say that.
As a native of
Lord.
Nation, I'm sure it is.
God. But so that's what I've been doing. I have a new grandson, and my daughter is graduating from high school, and last night was her senior prom. So life is good.
And she looked very beautiful in
she
the picture.
Did,
she
didn't she? She did. There was a whole gaggle of girls at my house yesterday getting dressed.
Aw. And how were the girls with Hammy?
They were pretty cool. They thought Hammy was pretty cool. And then when we, like, I rounded them all up to take a picture of them mm-hmm. in my living room. And then Hammy's, like, hamming around right in front of them, oinking. And I'm like, seriously, you're going to have to get out of the prom picture, Ham. You got to, you know, I'm sure they don't want a pig at their feet in front of all the dresses. So I had to shoo him out of the living room.
That would almost have been adorable. At least having one picture with it.
There were two guys that had dropped the girls off who were patiently waiting in the living room in their tux, and they were standing there looking like they're at some sort of military attention with their hands behind their back going, "That's a pig. Cool. All right. Yeah." yeah, that's kind of cool.
They were very laid back about the pig.
Yes, they're pretty laid back. Yeah.
Wow. Well, good.
Anything else?
I joined Growler today.
Yes! Miss Tammy's on Growler!
I am. Wait, I'll tell you how many viewers I've had so far. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm up to 12, a whole dozen.
Oh. A little bit, a dozen bears. So you've got your gaggle of bears,
mm-hmm.
or den of bears, or whatever that is.
I got one message that was a single word that said different.
Well, it's accurate and a compliment, so.
And then I got one that was an older person who said, you look cool, let's hook up. I politely passed and said thank you, but no thank you. So we'll see how long that lasts.
True.
All right.
Stick Shelby, did you have anything?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I've been busy lately. In the past 2 months, I have worked, not necessarily attended, but worked 5 different leather events, one of which I ran myself over an entire weekend. And also, today happens to be the anniversary of the year date that I actually permanently collared my own pup, Whiskey. So I'm celebrating that today as well. So life is pretty good right now. Sweet.
Congratulations.
Cool.
All right. Sounds like we don't have anything else here. So let's move right into this. Gary, what's going on over in Facebook?
We got a bunch of Facebook likes in the past couple weeks.
I think we read some last week.
Yeah, so we got about another 9 folks. Yay! Their names are Adrian Valdez, Charles Key, Derek Martin Stark, Douglas Bridges, Jacob Osito, Ronaldo Bertucci, Rusty Young, and Wunderbear.
Mm. With Adrian umlaut. Is a friend of mine. He's a really sweet guy.
Yay!
Okay. All right. That's all the feedback we got this week, but let's go right into this. So that's our introduction into Urban Dictionary with Gary. Gary, what have you found?
Well, I looked on Urban Dictionary and I found a term that I thought relates somewhat to today's topic of conversation. And the term is pupsticle course.
Okay.
So the definition is the act of having to step over dogs sleeping on the floor in your or a friend's home. And the example is two people in a conversation, Mike and Butch. Mike says, "Butch, come here a minute, please. I need your help." Butch says, "Coming." Mike says, "What took you so long?" Butch says, "Sorry, I had to deal with a 3-dog pupsticle course." As in, he had 3 dogs he had to step over in order to get to wherever he needed to in the house.
I've had that same experience.
But Ms. Tammy, are they dog, like animal puppies, or are they?
No, like seriously, really, I did almost. I did have an incident. It's kind of an infamous story with me trying to get out of bed. To go to the bathroom, and my golden doodle was laying beside the bed, and I got my toe hooked in a hole in the sheet and proceeded to almost fall through the window. And
oh, no.
There was a small amount of urination on the dog, but I didn't have consent ahead of time, we've not mentioned it very much.
Oh, dear God.
But she smiled, so I took that as consent and screamed for her to move out of the way. I love it.
You know, actually, in my experience, this can happen with either 2-legged or 4-legged dogs. It's the same problem, really.
Yeah, you're right about that.
It's going to be used in different situations. It's not just... Although I've had plenty of times where I've had a 1-dog popsicle course with Miss Sonnet, who just like, here I am sitting in my chair doing something, then I want to turn around and go grab something from the kitchen. And Sonnet, just for some reason, is lying on the floor right behind my chair.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Anyways, let's move it right into the topic. This is one of our Let's Talk About Kink episodes. I don't know how to start this.
Well, so to catch folks up, this particular Let's Talk About Kink is going to focus on, the title is Consent and Respect. It's broad, but we're going to start with a conversation about Claw 15 and something that happened particular there and the experiences that some of the folks that are on the call had, and then going from there into more broader aspects within the community, leather, kink, bear, all that kind of stuff. And the discussion about Claw isn't about like pros and cons and who did what right and who did what wrong kind of a thing. And it certainly isn't like a complaint or bitch session or bashing. It's about just the experiences of observation or what people had in that case. Because I found out from a couple of people, they all kind of had some interesting perspectives about the amount of pup play that took place at Claw. And personally, I've been finding pup play comes up a lot more in Facebook posts and Tumblr, like in a bunch of things. And so I'm curious more about, is this a growing portion of kink / leather? And is there like, is it separate? Is it a crossover and those type of things? And the reason is because I think it's in part of consent and respect is because leather to me is exactly about that. But I'm getting the impression that sometimes parts of pup play are not necessarily about that. So I'm very curious to know what everybody on our panel has to say about those things.
Well, are we starting the conversation with Claw first?
Is that let's go ahead and do that.
So let's start with what sparked the topic, which involves some things that were happening at Claw. Not Claw itself, some things that happened there.
Yes.
Yeah, they had a very large focus, I think, on pup play for the first time. If that was what I was catching, Damon.
You are correct.
Yeah.
The pup community has grown very large at Claw, and the organizers of Claw decided to embrace it this year and actually, you know, let everybody know they are welcome here and we're taking them under our wing. So you are correct there.
Cool.
So yeah, I feel some people working very hard for that, actually.
Yeah.
In the background.
Yeah.
The idea that they wouldn't be welcome there seems very strange to me, sitting from my position in the California leather community, at least in San Francisco.
It wasn't so much that they were not welcome. It's just more of they embraced it a lot more this year than they have in the past. Now, I'm only saying that. I've never been to Claw before. I'm only saying it as a bystander, but
this was my second Claw, and I will own that there was a much larger presence from last year to this year of pups and handlers at the event. Not to say that there weren't any last year or in years past. I think this was the first year that there was a class on pup play. There were multiple two moshes. There were more visible aspects of pup play that were part of the grand scheme of the event. There was a pup pool party. There were all these kind of things going on. So there's plenty of information going on at the same time during this event.
Oh shit! I should have went to Claw, but that's anyway.
And for our listeners who may not know, Claw now stands for Cleveland Leather Annual Weekend. Just want to make sure that's out there.
No more.
The reason we're saying that is that there's a distinction. The A used to stand for awareness in the past.
Yes,
correct. Yeah. So the letters are still the same. And most people who have known of Claw, that's exactly what they call it, CLAW, the reference to the Claw and Claw Nation, which I'm in Erie. I'm about 2 hours away from Cleveland, so I've known of it since inception. I went probably in like year one or year two, not as an E, but I happened to be in Cleveland with friends at the same time. So, and I have folks that come to my event part of the board, actually, and active with claws. So it's good. And as a side note, I just want to let folks know that what we're talking about play, if you're more curious about that aspect, we did a Let's Talk About Kink episode focusing on pup play earlier this year. It was episode 295. So in case you're not sure of terminology or words and that type of thing, if we don't happen to define them or go over it, you can listen to that show.
So you were bringing up our why we are having this show. And I'm not going to name names because it's not the time or the place. But because there was such a large puppy presence there, a few of the people got a little rowdy and were doing things that were questionable when it comes to consent and basically just misbehaving. You know, things that you wouldn't do at any other kind of bear run, or, well, not even a bear run, just any kind of convention. Just things like being loud. You know, that's that's the kind of behavior certain individuals were doing at this event. And that's kind of what sparked all this.
Right. So my understanding is there was potentially upwards of 100 people participating in the pup aspect during Claw.
I would say probably yes.
Okay. Which, to me, that's a significant number. I don't know. I mean, technically in the scale of Claw, I thought I heard that this year was about 1,500.
Yeah.
So that's less than 10%, but I don't care because 100 people in any one space in any one time can really be something to coordinate and impactful as an attendee to that aspect, depending on obviously on the size, scale, the room and that. So go ahead.
I say I've actually run an event with 100 puppies in one room before, and the amount of space and noise and chaos that creates is ridiculous.
To be clear, the areas that they're talking that we're referring to about the misbehavior is not in the moshes.
It wasn't in the spaces. It was the more public spaces. It was more the more where classes were being during classes that were being held. It was during also during the regular business of the hotel and during the regular during the event in and of itself.
Okay. So it wasn't particularly during scheduled activities for
with pups. Yeah,
with pups. Okay. And that's important to know because I think this gets us a little bit more towards the consent and respect aspect of things that, you know, where and when is behavior appropriate. And I guess this is where I'm curious about this as an outsider. My understanding is within the pup community or pup players, individuals, that there's a terminology called strays, and those are individuals that do not necessarily have a handler. And apparently some individuals think that that's a license for a certain type of behavior, and that might be where some of this is stemming from.
Yeah, in the pup community, we usually call those people assholes.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I didn't have to be the first one to say it.
Okay, so as there really should be a distinction between the actual term of in pup play, at least, of stray versus asshole. Like you're calling yourself a stray, but you're not really a stray. You're just an asshole.
Definitely a difference.
All the stray really means is that you're still on the market for a owner / handler. That's it. It just happens that if you're an asshole, you probably haven't picked up an owner or a handler, have you?
And that's just it. This is something, Gary, you made a comment about something that Chess had said about the event itself in the show notes. And I completely agree with what Chess had said. And I will even go...
Perfectly good people like anyone else.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
as the outside the box person, what I'm curious about at this very moment is it a really difficult cycle where you have strays, and to use Shelby's terminology, we have strays that are assholes because they don't have handlers. Maybe they don't have handlers because they're assholes. And so it's like this – please forgive this horrible pun – chasing the tail circle, and nothing kind of changes or gets resolved unless a handler steps in that really wants to change that.
You are correct. There, I don't want to say that there was a lack of direction from sirs or handlers with these individuals, because there wasn't. I know that I don't want to use his name. you know who I'm going to say, Damon, and probably Tammy. He did step up to one of the puppies, and the puppy told him to go fuck himself. Yeah. Because he's...
Oh, whoa.
Oh. So
somebody that, you know, is well-respected in the leather community did go up up to these people and say something. So it wasn't necessarily a lack of communication on their part.
It was one of... Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about now. And I know who you're talking about now. Ultimately, they're... To me, that was the true asshole. Like, you know, if you're there's a difference between I'm a stray, I can do whatever I want, blah 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 blah, and then there's to like you're being politely told something, and even maybe a little bit more aggressively told something, and you're kind of being a bitch about it. So that's the true asshole to me, and that was part of the issue I think that that people had at Claw, was that there were a few, and I want to own that there were only a few puppies that were misbehaving out of the bunch that were there. There were a few puppies that chose to or decided to not be as respectful. Yeah, respectful of people, place, and space. They chose intentionally to not be that way. And because of that, and because there were so few of them, unfortunately, it reflected back into, for some whatever reason, it reflected back into the community at large, so that those puppies that were good and well-behaved and help with get the pups out there and get a lot of them involved into this in this year's Claw, it sort of reflected negatively onto them and reflected negatively on the community.
Correct.
And part of some of what I read on Facebook, I wasn't there, I don't have personal knowledge of that, was that perhaps some people in the leather community generalized their experiences that they had with these maybe three or four people that they had a bad experience with two puppies as a community. And that certainly is not the case. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is stray puppies who are not well behaved, who are assholes. They were assholes long before they were puppies. True, and probably. It doesn't have anything to do necessarily with their community. There are a lot of people, whatever community you identify with, whether you identify as a top, a bottom, in a bear community, in a puppy community, in a leather community, a master-slave community, a sir, a boy, a trainer, a handler, a pup, whatever, a daddy, a boy, whatever your community is. If you're unpartnered, it may be because not simply you haven't found the right person, but because you need to be a little bit introspective and think about how you handle yourself as a person in whatever community it is that you choose to identify with.
Those are very good points.
So I have a question, because this is the thing that's really been kicking around in my brain about this show coming up. How does anybody determine when a stray is being disrespectful with their behavior because they might use the moniker or the label of, well, I'm a stray, I don't have a handler, I can do whatever I want, or I'm allowed to misbehave because of this thing? Like, is that automatically an abuse of that word?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I offer my perspective as somebody who's actually had to be the person to go out there and deal with these people?
Please.
Yes.
In general, yeah, I would tend to agree with you that they're just using the word as an excuse. And how do you know? Well, there are rules of engagement and respect at whatever venue that you are at. For example, I run puppy play events where there is to be no sex because it is in public at Folsom or Dore. So you make the rules clear. If they break the rules, you ask them to stop. If they don't stop or say fuck you, well, get the fuck out. And there is no excuse. And in fact, we even had last year at Wolf Camp Weekend, we had a 50-person discussion about the specific topic because we really didn't like the fact that a few people were using this to basically engage in bad behavior. And the conclusion we came to is that no matter whether or not we engage in pub play, we are still humans. We must still treat each other with respect. And we must still follow the rules. And so those people are using an excuse to be a dick. And the way you deal with them is you ask them to leave if they won't behave.
Exactly. I agree totally.
Now, the unfortunate thing is that because this community is perceived as new to many others in the broader community, people do what they always do with the newcomer. If they see a bad example, they cast a shadow on the entire group.
True.
I can give you another example of another community, the people who are into age play.
Mm.
A few bad actors cast a shadow on the whole group because they are a newer group and people don't know what to do with them yet. Everybody knows that probably, you know, the percentage of tops that are assholes is probably equal to the percentage of people that are assholes.
Okay. So in the experience of the event that happened, it sounds like because these individuals were sort of an anomaly, for lack of a better word on my brain right now, you know, that they were so few and far between yet had such an impact, it was difficult to gauge, I guess, where someone would, I guess, step up, like you're saying, Shelby, and basically be like, hey, I'm an authority figure for said venue / event, whatever facility. You either bring it in line or you're out.
I guess. Well, there's a reason why I had that job description, because somebody has to make that call.
Right.
Ben?
I didn't feel like at Claw there was really anyone who was that authority figure. I mean, there were there are people with the armbands doing security, but like after their shift they would hand it off and then didn't really matter what happened. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like there was someone I could go to who'd be there the whole weekend that I could just be like, hey, you know, please keep an eye on XYZ person.
Well, a big portion of what makes Claw so special, as my understanding, I've never attended myself personally, is that volunteers pretty much run the weekend. A large portion of them do. And so being a part of a board that helps produce events, you live and you learn every year. You learn about what things went well, what things didn't go so well. Obviously, that might be an opportunity for improvement for them in areas where issues like that may arise.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're somebody that's a volunteer, you may not feel like that's within your realm of responsibility to approach somebody like that, especially if you see someone who's well-respected in the leather community, who has a pretty firm presentation, who's bigger than a brick shit house, to go over and say, you need to cut it out. And they said, fuck you. I might say, well, that didn't work out so good. Looks like my shift's about over. It probably didn't look like an opportune thing, but I'm sure they're aware of what happened and that they'll work on how to avoid something like that happening again.
Issue, I think something like what Ben or Stick was saying was the idea of the security issue. In certain situations, there would potentially be, personnel. There should be personnel that should have the quote-unquote authority to break something up should there be an issue or an altercation, have that presence to support someone who is being wronged.
Right. I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying as far as somebody affiliated with Claw that really has the power to be able to do that is obviously above the level of somebody that's a volunteer. And sure. Were they really prepared to say, gosh, this really looks like something I should contact so-and-so to be able to help me out? Or were they even really invested in that? And then again, you know, you're talking about, they're saying there were 80 to 100 very well-behaved, enthusiastic pups that were, you know, enjoying themselves and being a part of the weekend. And there were three or four very visible, ill-behaved pups. So how many people actually were exposed to that? And I, you know, I love social media. It's a great way for us to keep in touch. But I wonder if you would have had the same fervor after the event if you didn't have Facebook to perpetuate that discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may have been a few people that noticed and talked amongst themselves and kind of said, you know, well, maybe we can work on that next year. But sometimes people take things and run with it and make it bigger than it was because it's something to talk about.
I think you have a very good point right there because I was in areas where these people were misbehaving, and I heard about the pool incident from the person who tried to handle it and was told to fuck off.
And wished I could have been a fly on the wall for that.
Ooh.
With some popcorn.
You must know who I'm talking about, Tammy.
Oh, I do.
So when I left there, I didn't go out of there and say, man, that event was great, except for those brood puppies. I didn't do right. that. It just was a matter of, hey, I had a great time. And then somebody mentioned to me on one of the puppy Facebook groups that, oh, I heard there was a bunch of drama. And my only response to that was, well, there were a couple people that were not behaving the way that they should have been.
Yeah.
But everybody seemed to blow up about it and started calling it. Yeah, never mind. I'm not going to call it that.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to think of it in terms of scale. You know, Claw, as the example that we're discussing right now, where most of this stems from, as an event by size, is more than four times the size of the event that I put on. But if I was to draw it and kind of make the ratio and say one person out of 250 at my event misbehaved, you bet your sweet ass I'd probably hear about it because the community is tight enough that somebody would go to somebody and be like, you know, what's with, you know, jerkoid over here or whatever, and or go to a staff member and have it taken care of. But I don't think that's a solution or an answer. I think it helps show that perhaps, and I'm not blaming anybody, I'm thinking by size and scale, it does become daunting to address all areas. And I don't think this is the case, but I would certainly hope that Claw did not put non-pup aware volunteers on pup activities, because I wouldn't necessarily know, even though I'm an enthusiastic volunteer, when something isn't going correctly. Or in these examples, I think it was outside of pup events. So therefore, if I'm not a person who's aware of that, you know, that activity and those behaviors, I guess I might not be able to determine the difference between you're basically, you know, no, excuse the language, fuckwad, versus, you know. Yes. Your behaving, quote unquote, your acting. What?
I think that's a really good point to bring up, that people that work really hard to coordinate events and dialogue with hotels and staff and educate and look at what the laws are in the city and put together staff and do these things over a period of a year. We're sometimes, I say we, I don't mean myself because I help coordinate, but sometimes people that show up for events don't realize how much work that takes behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And, you know, how easy is it to sit down with a group at a hotel and go, okay, so here's what we do. We have these people that dress up and put butt plugs in their ass and they have these jock straps on. And no, it'll be okay. Really, seriously. I know it sounds odd, but it'll be okay. It's hard to sell those things sometimes, you know. And so when, even if it is three or four people or just one who's rude to the desk person or who says something that makes the hotel staff uncomfortable, that puts the entire venue and your event at risk sometimes. And you have to do a lot of work behind the scenes to smooth those things out. So again, that just speaks to general etiquette and have some damn common sense and don't act like an asshat. When you go to events and things like this, that people work really hard to create for you so that you can be amongst one another and share time. Just because you walk into an event in the door does not mean you leave common sense and courtesy behind.
Way to the fucking man.
I know, right? I mean, I have seen people do things like out in an open area at a hotel and look at somebody and go, do they realize that that's like illegal? And yeah, we have some certain rules that we abide by, but you'd need to do that in the dungeon area. It's not okay to walk around naked in a hotel, even if we have the entire hotel. You can't just walk around like that. I think sometimes people lose a sense of what is allowed out in the real world versus in play spaces and event spaces. Has anybody else kind of experienced that?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I did not experience anything like that at Claw. There was, inside the play space, there were two gentlemen who were jerking each other off. That was a little, you're not I looked, said, well, that's not supposed to be happening, and turned around and walked away.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying. Maybe that was a bad example that I used.
And the public spaces, I did not notice anything that was out of the ordinary or that I would have thought, you know, the staff are going to think we're weird if you do that. I didn't see any of that.
But, I mean, Ms. Tammy, you bring up an excellent point. You know, a bear event is not like a leather event. And I say that purely as I have plenty of crossover individuals that come to my event. And sometimes, right. You know, they show up, they walk down the main hallway right into the ballroom, which has an exterior access that you can drive up to with their ass cheeks hanging out of their chap, not covered. And, you know, there's a part of me that's like, like – because there's hotel staff around, and who knows if the public would walk in despite all the plethora of signs that say, you know, that it's not available. And at the same time, there's another part of me that's like, well, yeah, I understand where they're coming from. We have the whole building. You feel safe. It's an environment. You're part of this community. Do you know what I mean? And so it is. It's challenging and difficult and to walk that line. And so some people, I guess they know me well enough, and I'm rumored to be like this queen bitch on wheels of OCD-ness. They basically, some people come up to me and they're like, I have this thing. I want to wear it. Is it okay? And it's funny because a part of me is like, aw, thank you for asking. Another part of me is like, really? You're so rare because most people don't fucking care.
They just
go do something.
And, you know, it's not those once in a while little faux pas like you accidentally walk down the hallway and go, oh my God, I didn't realize there was an exit there. Whoops. Or the one hand job around the pool. Oh, well, you know, it's the big faux pas that create problems for people and relationships and their ability to enjoy time at the events. Mm-hmm. I mean, so their mamas didn't raise them right. That's all I'm saying.
I was waiting for that. So what we're talking about, I want to go back to Shelby because it sounds like you've been a coordinator and organizer of pop activities specifically. In what we're talking about, do you have any ideas, hints, tips, tricks, or outright like guidelines of experience on this type of thing?
I absolutely do, yeah. And I know what works pretty well both for puppy events and for furry events. And the reason I'm going to mention furry events is because furries are incredibly diverse, but not always well socialized, and therefore will engage in all manner of unusual behavior in front of hotel staff. And it gets even harder to figure out what's not okay there sometimes. Hmm. What the answer is, really, you need to do two things. First of all, you need to make sure that you are very much in touch with the local security at the place that you're at, and that the two of you agree upon what is and what is not okay for the venue. Once you've done that, it's unreasonable to expect that all of your volunteers are necessarily going to be able or comfortable to make this call. So you make sure that you have somebody who is on call 24/7, could be different people, whose job it is to handle these escalations and determine is there a problem or not. And if there is a problem, they get the physical security to haul their ass out. And then you make it clear to the attendees, if any of you are concerned about what's going on, you go talk to these people wearing these vests. And if that volunteer doesn't know, he escalates it to the guy that does. It gets handled. Everything is smooth. There's no issue. We have quietly exited people out from both puppy parks and furry conventions this way more than once. Sometimes not quietly, of course.
That sounds like dismissals at my job. Anyway, sorry.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of it really, I mean, it is common sense in general, but it can get weird in the details. I mean, and I can give you a specific example. While I was running the Folsom booth, there was a mandate at Folsom that there was to be no sex anywhere publicly at Folsom. However, as it turns out, rimming is not considered sex by their rules. Oh. So I had puppy trains that were rimming, and they could do that, but nothing else. Otherwise, I pulled them off each other.
Hold on.
David and I are both like, hold up. So you could put your mouth and tongue, lips, the whole bit on someone else's derriere and like anus, and that's okay. That's not considered sex.
But if you did it to their cock, that would be sex, and they would ask you to go somewhere else. Yeah, no shit. Those were the rules.
Interesting.
I'm sorry. Not this have is a- sexual relations.
The rules can be fucking arbitrary, frankly. It doesn't matter what the rules are. It just matters that you know what the rules are.
Yeah, and I like your idea of having someone, like a point person, available, you know, throughout the day as needed to basically be the escalator, quote unquote, the final decision maker, you know.
That is the guy the hotel comes and complains to when they're unhappy, and also the guy the volunteers complain to, and that's what you need.
Ah.
So in your example that you're given, Shelby, if people have questions about what is acceptable for certain scenes or arenas, you know, in a say, quote unquote, private versus public display, in theory, the attendees would know what the chain of command is. And by that, I mean like who to report to or who to ask questions about. If they're like, I'm not really sure this thing I'm seeing is cool or acceptable for this place.
Correct. But in addition to that, they will also receive written rules. They will also have them posted on the web, and they will be given an orientation wherein the rules will be discussed.
Hmm.
Okay. So you need to make this all incredibly clear, basically. At that point, there's no more gray area.
Clarity is good.
So there's a lot of CYA, otherwise known as cover your ass.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
All right. That's interesting because I want to kind of go to something that I know Ms. Tammy, I think, was kind of making a reference to, which is I have a bigger, broader question because we've kind of been saying about, you know, people should have common sense. I am of the 70s, 80s generation, born in the 70s, raised in the 80s, you know, really came into adulthood like into the 90s and so on. I feel like I'm the last generation that was raised with an education system and possibly a local community and family that makes sense of what I call like problem solving and critical thinking, which kind of portrays common sense in a way, because I get frustrated because my question is, are people, and people is a very broad definition, just downright rude or ignorant when we say it's a matter of common sense? And the reason we say that is because they obviously don't have it or they're not applying it. Do you guys understand what I'm asking or what I'm trying to get at?
Well, I'm in the same generation as you. I'm just a few months behind you in age, so I know what you're saying.
Unfortunately, I know what you're saying, but the reality is it's not that they don't have common sense. It's that they have a different kind of common sense, and that's why you need to specify.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm older than all of you.
Well, this is also dealing with the day and age where spanking is considered, you know, child abuse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but I got spankings when I was a kid. Do I appreciate that in the later years? Yes.
Well, there's a why.
There's appropriate totally spanking, don't get me wrong. But we won't get into that. But I think it's more of people being like, oh, we need to be more careful with how we deal with our children nowadays, that these children are growing up not having the discipline that us from who are the child of the 80s and prior had, which means people are the younger people are getting are a little more loose and and everything. They don't understand that that respect that you need to pay to other people. Hey, I actually said a word for that's actually in the current title of our doc.
Well, and that's it. I think I'm right there with you, Jeffrey, that I too was raised. I mean, I was disciplined. I mean, you know, like we're talking about when I stepped out of line and I needed to learn corrective behavior, you know, modification, I needed to know that what I did was wrong or I should never do that again, that, you know, we went through whatever the procedure was to address that particular issue. Sometimes it was physical, other times it was psychological. And I only say that because, you know, sometimes you just have to have a talk with a person and help them understand, you know, what the impacts are, the consequences for the actions, that type of stuff. But I don't know, like I kind of ask that as a broad question because I see far too often people I connect with, and especially if we're close in age, we all commiserate, and somehow that thread of topic comes through about that people just don't. They just don't seem to think through or get or understand. And so, Shelby, you bring up an excellent point about maybe it's really about bubbles, and their bubble is very different than mine, and they don't have that same base. You know.
In my experience, that is what it is, because if I take the – I mean, by the way, I am 36. If I take the time to explain to somebody of a younger generation where it is that people may be coming from and why they might be coming from that direction, they go, oh, okay, I get it now. I don't want to be rude, and then there's not really an issue. It's just that the assumption from older generations is that they shouldn't have to explain, and that assumption is actually quite retarded. Because somebody explained it to you, called your parents, and guess what? It wasn't explained to them, so somebody needs to explain it to them. It's about that simple to me.
Well, part of what, you know, modifies behavior is either seeking praise, working towards some enhancement for yourself, or avoiding punishment. So sometimes people do things purely out of a sense of wanting to be accepted or be praised or welcomed. Sometimes that's not really what you want to do, but you just don't want to be punished. So it depends on, you know, what your motivation is for behavior. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, with my kids, sometimes it was just to avoid punishment. I didn't really care as long as they were able to modify their behavior and do what I expected. Because it was not a good day.
Right.
If it didn't go my way.
Yeah, I mean, I find that, I don't know, I just find that very interesting. Shelby, I hear what you're saying about that a person had to have told another person, like someone had to basically instruct or train, whatever you want to call it, teach something to another person for them to understand it. But I don't know. I think there were parts of generations where it was considered an innate understanding of why you behave the way you do. However, as a corporate trainer, as a person who instructs people, I am there with you that, yeah, someone has to tell somebody something. Otherwise, they don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. And that's the most dangerous people out there that just blindly do things because they were told to and they have no understanding of what the background is in that case. And I say that because if you don't explain to somebody the importance of, like, let's say someone is going to work in the medical field, and even if this person works, say, in custodial services where they are not interacting per se with patients for care, but they have to take care of the things that affect the patients, they should have some understanding of that, I would think, because otherwise it becomes a problem.
Sure.
So somebody, I think it's good to have background and understanding. So I'm seeing where Shelby's coming from, I guess, is what I'm saying.
And I think that each community, and we're talking about a broad array of community here, that people that identify as elders or people that have been around for a long time, which has nothing to do whether you're dominant, submissive, or whatever role you identify as, a big letter person or a little letter person. If you are considered an elder and you've been around in that community for a long time and you have a certain amount of history and enculturation with that particular community, in some ways it's your duty and your responsibility to model behavior for other people and to try to approach them in a manner that you can give them feedback about their behavior. Now, you can't be responsible for how they receive that as long as you present it to them in a respectful manner. if they choose to not receive it and they're just an asshat, then they're going to stay an asshat. And eventually they're going to end up on the fringes of the community and they're not really going to ever be a part of it. They're going to still be the stray pup that's running up and down the hall like an idiot that everybody goes, just shut your door and don't let them in. And that tends to be kind of, at least as I speak as part of the leather community, is you have to sort of police your own. And eventually people that don't conform to some of the things that we consider a part or very important in our community, they get kind of pushed out. And they're not really allowed to be as involved as maybe they might like to be. If they decide to grow, mature, seek out ways to better themselves, then sure, they're welcome.
So you said something, Miss Tammy, that always makes me giggle and laugh. And I had to try to define this to somebody because I was talking about this concept of this topic. Yes, asshattery. So my thing is, is it an individual thing when you look at somebody and you're like, you're just an asshat, or it's really their personality? And I'm not giving them an out. I'm just saying that, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like there are some
I don't think that's not an answer that you can come up with immediately. I mean, it might be a gut reaction to just say, oh, they're just an asset. Well, they may be acting like one right at that very moment, but who knows? Maybe they're having a bad day. I mean, I think you need to give somebody the benefit of a doubt and observe them over a period of time. But if you go to 4 events in 1 year and that same that would be kind of slim for most of us. But if you go to 4 events in 6 months and you see that same person and they are repeatedly engaging in the same type of annoying and disruptive and disrespectful behavior, you can pretty much assume that they're leaning toward the asshat end. If they had a bad day and they acted in such a way that seems a little out of character, then, you know, you give them the benefit of a doubt. You try to redirect and model behavior for them. And maybe the next event you say, well, you know, they're reining it in a little bit. They're trying to put forth some effort and they seemed more respectful and more willing to engage in appropriately what the rules have been set forth for this event. So, you know, part of us is I think as human beings, you tend to notice negativity first, and you have to kind of keep yourself in check and try to give people the benefit of a doubt first. I know sometimes I've been accused. Accused of being a little standoffish, and then I'm not very approachable. But a lot of times it's because I watch people, because I'm going to let you introduce yourself to me by observing your behavior and how you act and how you contribute to the community and how you interact with other people. Does that make sense?
No, for me personally, I think it makes perfect sense. And as an example, let's say, I guess there's a difference between what you're saying between a personality, quote unquote, versus asshattery is, let's say I'm out at a bar and there's a guy and he walks up and he, you know, is behind me. I don't know. He's behind me and he just grabs my ass without permission, without introducing himself. And we haven't met yet. And, you know, if people know me personally, that will not go over at all. Like, it's just.
Well,
it's
it shouldn't. Absolutely.
Well, but here's the thing. If they do it consistently, meaning they do it to other people and it's a part of who they are because they're very flirtatious, quote unquote. And I'm using that definition broadly or loosely. You know, I guess that's what you're saying is if you kind of know that about that person and you're not excusing it, but you have an understanding that's who they are. Unfortunately, they just don't seem to respect other individual spaces and their body to not do that.
Right. And well, I don't know. I think that's a whole special case right there. That surpasses just being rude or being a little annoying or disruptive. That's actually putting your hands on somebody. And that is totally a violation of another individual's rights. And I think that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. Let's bring Chess into the call here. He's here and see if he can also put in. So things had gotten him in delay, but Chess is here with us as well. Hopefully he'll be connecting soon here.
Cool.
But that's a good transition more into the broad scape of personal space and physical presence and respect.
So, and the example that I was giving was something that I know that's happened to me personally. I've been It doesn't matter where I am. If it's a bear event or leather event or a gay bar or a function, sometimes people – I don't understand that. Some people really have a thing about just walking up to another individual and become physical when they don't know them. And the reason why it's a personal issue for me is because I would never, ever do that to another person without knowing them.
Right.
And knowing that it's okay.
Exactly. And you know what? There are some times when – I'm a very huggy person. I hug a lot of people. And sometimes I hug people or that might be that person's slave or they're submissive because I already know that I have permission. I have an established relationship with the person that's either their owner or their master, whatever their relationship is. And I know that it's okay for me to hug them. Or I don't know what it is with you gay guys and boobs, but my boobs have been grabbed more times than I can tell you. That doesn't bother me as long as I kind of know who you are. But if you come up from behind me and I have absolutely no idea who you are and you just grab my boobs, there's going to be a problem.
Well, personally, I'm not a fan of boobs. So I personally don't squeeze any woman's boobs, even if I knew them. I'll give you a hug. You have the boobs. You happen to be female. I'm okay with that part. But, you know, touching boobs, no. You can have your boobs.
I think,
we'll just be over here.
I think a lot of it has to do with your space and where you are at. I completely understand what Tammy is saying about, you know, not touching other people. However, if you're at a, say, a puppy mosh, is it acceptable then? Because when I'm there, I walk up to all the puppies and I just start scratching away. And I expect people to do that to me too.
Exactly. But that's an environment where that's an acceptable behavior.
Okay. So at what point is it not an acceptable behavior? Because what Gary is talking about.
Well, let me give you an example of something that I've seen, and maybe that might help. You're standing at a bar, you're having a drink with friends, and someone just walks up and engages themselves in the conversation with you and proceeds to just run their hands all over somebody's bare chest who's wearing a harness and grabbing their crotch as if that's okay. And that's not okay.
It depends on who you're asking. Cause if somebody did that to me, I would be okay with it. I wouldn't want them touching my crotch.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What if it's a woman?
If it's a woman, that would be fine.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll remember that. Tuck that little bit that way information right there.
But what I'm saying is, environment plays a huge role, plus the person that's being touched plays a huge role. If I'm in a bar, somebody walks up to me and grabs my crotch, no matter who you are, unless I'm very intimate with you before, you're not touching my crotch. But you are welcome to, you know, grab my harness, rub my chest, scratch my ears. A good example of this, since we've got an awful lot of puppies here, when puppies are wearing their tails, you don't grab their tail. But what I'm saying is it's different for everybody. And there, I don't want to say there's no right or wrong answer, because ultimately it is up to the person who is being touched to make that call.
That's true.
If they don't want to be touched, that's their call, and they have every right to make that call.
And welcome, Chess, to the call, finally.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
We were talking about being touched in a bar. Yeah,
you know, I like that as much as the next person, you know, generally, as long as I'm okay with it.
Okay, so here's what I'm getting from some of us on the panel. I think Tammy and I are in the same circle, but others are in a slightly different circle. And this is what I'm seeing. Tammy and I are the, we don't touch and will not touch unless we know that it's okay. Like, we respect the individual. so much that we won't do that, and we expect that in kind. But to me, it sounds like others are saying, well, environment is a piece of it, personality is a piece of it. And to me, I'm like, those are items further down the checklist. The first one is, I don't invade another person's space, and I do not touch them because I respect them as a human being. Done. Then I start taking into account the other things about whether I know them, whether I don't know them, what's the environment, and the rest of that stuff.
Yeah, and I think it does have to do something with knowing where they are in that. So you would actually have to at least get to know them a little, even if it's, you have to at least have some interaction with them first. You know, even if it ends up being something where you just get to know where their boundaries lie. For example, if a guy came up to me and started giving me a hug or just kind of like putting his arms around my torso, sure, that's fine right away as kind of an intro thing. I'm okay with that, but that's how I'm okay. And they need to know if that's okay or not. So you have to at least know them even tangentially of how they would react to that certain situation before you enact it.
But from the sounds of what you just said, Jeffrey, the first thing is what I'm talking about is they should know you to know whether or not that's okay. And if they don't know you, therefore, they should get to know you before they do that.
Yeah, I actually have a personal story about that where I was at a bar surrounded by friends. Stranger came up, he started playing with my butt. I turned around, and as I was turning around, he actually pulled my wallet out. And I had to go fucking chasing after that guy.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's totally.
We call that getting robbed, honey.
Right, exactly. I chased after him, and needless to say, I'm super paranoid now about who is around me and who touches me.
I think from an entirely different camp, I guess, because I really don't care who touches me or where they touch me until or unless you've done something to make me dislike you, in which case it's get the fuck away from me, and I'll make that clear.
I am in that same boat. You know, if I'm at some kind of event and somebody walks up and starts hugging me or touching me, as long as I am comfortable with it and they're not making me uncomfortable, then I'm okay with it. But once they cross that line where I'm uncomfortable, I make it known to them that they have crossed that line. And I don't do that to other people. I use the puppy play just to make the point of an environment. I don't walk up to random people at a bear event or anything like that and just start touching people. I'm very aware that that's their personal space and I need to be invited into it. However, at a puppy mosh, I think it's a little different because there is a expectation of touching to happen between certain individuals.
Right, I agree with that.
Yeah. Part of the point of a puppy mosh is to be able to throw away all those rules about not touching and interacting with strangers, not being affectionate with strangers, not playing with strangers, and casting all those things off for a little while for many, many people. So yeah, it's a different environment.
So are we saying that pup play, especially in moshes, respect and consent is different?
I think it's implied in the sense that it sounds like what they're saying is if you're participating in the mosh, you have consent.
That's tacitly consenting, of course.
Yes. Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So is that the same? And this is completely like an unexpected question that just popped in my head. Is that similar, parallel, identical to if you went to a back room of a bar because you're in that environment, like you're agreeing to in that environment, the behaviors of the environment?
I actually would agree with that in some way.
I would too.
Because you've kind of walked into an environment where you're not necessarily, you've chosen to go into an environment where there is
what's happening.
Yeah. You're aware of what's happening. Now on the same vein, you can still say no. Yeah. You can still not consent. You can still have someone, if someone touches you or engages you in a way that you are not ready for or do not want to engage in, you say no. And if they choose not to accept that you are not consenting, you have every right to tell them to fuck off or whatever you need to do to them.
Yeah, I think that what you're getting at, Damon, is specifically that consent is a continual thing. It has to be renewed and it can be withdrawn at any time.
Yeah.
And so when you go into those environments, like say a mosh or say a back room, you are at least impliedly consenting to initial contact. Now, I don't care if you're in a puppy mosh and you're just like, hey, somebody just pounced on me really good and I don't want to be pounced like that anymore. You can send out all the signals that say, nope, don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, or if you're in a back room and somebody goes straight for your junk, you can be like, whoa, that's not cool. But
yeah, that happens to me all the time. I'm just kidding. I'm
kidding. But so, I mean, you can still withdraw consent. In fact, I think probably the only context that I can think of that, you know, we're talking about consensual interactions where, you know, withdrawal isn't an option is something like initial consent, no way out, BDSM scenes. And those are extremely specialized and rare.
And usually done with people that you already have a respect
already
and
have, yes. So
yeah. Those I don't people think, know your limits.
Yes. And so when in terms of like kind of the camps you were describing just a moment ago, Gary, I think that I really would fall in the whichever group of you is saying that it's, you know, it's the totality of the circumstances. It's not a sequential, hey, I'm not going to touch you until you've signaled that it's okay. However, I think that it's always polite and a respectful thing to do when you're dealing with folks that you don't know and you don't know what their boundaries are to do that. I'm a transgressor. I know this. Like, I'm a person who wants to touch people. But what I do when I meet people, I'm like, hey, and they start to stick their hand out. I'm like, hey, can I hug you? I'm a hugger. You know, and most of them are okay. And I've had some that are like, no, not okay. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, I back right off. Like, but I ask because I want to still demonstrate my respect, even though it's my intention to lay hands on you.
Yeah.
And in a lot of times, like, and there's different kinds of touching, too. Like, I don't think it's a big deal to, you know, if somebody's, you know, you're at a bear run and somebody's, you know, you're meeting somebody and you're like, hey, and you pat somebody on the shoulder or you see somebody who's obviously being friendly with lots of people. You know, you go and, you know, rub shoulders or, you know, kind of just come up behind them and like, you know, just a little bit of a touch. I'm not even saying something sexual, just like, hey, I'm right here and I'm going to let you know with my hand. I don't think that that's, you know, disrespectful because of the environment. Even with people that you know, environment's going to count big time because I'm not going to grope my husband in the cafe, but I'm going to grope him as soon as we're in private. You know, it's very like context is always in play. I don't think that it's a sequential issue.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Let me ask Jess a question because frequently, I obviously am not. I do not go in back rooms that are dark rooms that are identified as male only space because mm-hmm. I respect that is a space for male energy and I don't need to try to invade that.
Sure.
Or force my presence there. Have you ever had? A lot of times when I'm someplace, I'm in the minority in terms mm-hmm. of females.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever had bad experience or something that felt uncomfortable with women in your space?
Yeah. I generally am pretty permissive when it's other dudes laying hands on me. But I've had stuff go on where I've been at bars and, you know, sometimes there's women at gay bars, especially when, like, they've been fairly intoxicated and their inhibitions are down. I mean, I've had women, you know, start out, I might know the person and they might lay hands on me and then their hands are on my chest and then their hands are on my junk and had to stop somebody from actually putting their hands in my pants to get a hold of me.
No.
So like, and I was, I was, I was okay with, you know, laying hands on the arms. Then the hands on the chest was okay. I started to get uncomfortable when it's like, hey, now I'm very, very clearly groping and fondling and rolling back and forth your junk and your bulge, you know, through your pants. And then when, you know, it's like I'm going to reach. And the thing is, though, is I probably would have been that uncomfortable with just about anybody.
Yeah.
If I wasn't like giving them the go ahead signals, you know. by reaching out and touching them back, you know, those are the sort of things that I'm going to put out to be like, you know, where I'll leer at them and, you know, start, you know, doing my own rubbing and touching. So
I asked you that question because sometimes I wonder, women that attend events that are predominantly male oriented events. I mean, I think sometimes they have a difficulty recognizing that there are still boundaries. This may not be a group of heterosexual men, but that doesn't mean that you have carte blanche to touch them,
right?
Because you're heterosexual and all of a sudden there are these men who don't necessarily have any sexual interest in you, that it's okay to touch them.
Oh, you're gay. It's okay. It doesn't mean it.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's sometimes a disconnect in that they lose the sense that they still have to be respectful of boundaries. It doesn't matter who the person is. And
yeah. At least in my experience, I've never had that out of a woman who was not drinking, I guess. I've seen it. It's always been with the girls who've had, you know, one or three or five too many. It's never, I've never had that experience with somebody who's, you know, we're in a not drinking environment or she's not drinking.
So in general, it seems more like in general, women are very respectful. When they get drunk, that changes.
Well,
and again, there we go. They might just be having a bad day, and they might not really be an asshat. They're just having an off day.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well,
nice. Shelby, nobody's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Shelby, you had something?
I just wanted to mention that there's a very interesting dynamic that goes on with females at puppy runs out here, which puppy runs out here are seen as being primarily a gay male activity, even though there are a lot of women who are interested. In fact, a lot of them say they're afraid to get into it because it's a gay male thing. But what happens when a female shows up, because we don't forbid them, is they're like, can I really go and play? Will these people really accept me? But then they go on the floor and they play and it's on and there's no issue.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, even men who normally would never let themselves be touched by a female under any other circumstance, because ew, I'm gay, it's a girl, when they're on the floor or on the mosh pit or whatever, it's just another puppy. They don't give a shit. And in fact, we even asked them after one of our events, and they said, please bring more females. The energy's better. Ew, I'm gay. I don't want to touch them otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. We have a couple of female pups locally to Chess and I.
Yeah.
And they are some rough puppies, let me tell you. I've seen them flip a couple of dudes and their eyes were enormous and as they were flying through the air.
They're proud of it. They're like, "Oh yeah, you think I'm a girl and I'm not going to take you out?"
I was going to say the female puppies are my favorite to wrestle with because they can kick your ass. They play harder than the men. And you know what? The same is true in the dungeon. The females tend to play harder than the men, truth be told. They cut loose.
I know exactly where you guys are coming from with that. At Claw, I was in the puppy moshes, and I was always playing with the female pups.
And I bet you were playing with the two from locally from us.
It could very well be. I'm very much not attracted to women in any respect, but when I am in a mosh or even at a leather event, it's because I'm respectful of that person. And I know that our interactions are not sexual. It is, we're interacting on a different level. So I don't necessarily mind engaging
people who may not understand it to now where there are women who are ultimately forcing, quote unquote, forcing themselves
in BDSM and leather situations to interact with females because of the formalized negotiation process. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're being very clear about consent. The places that it gets weird is when you hit those blurry social situations where you don't have that formalized process. And so I think that, you know, you're exactly right that if the respect is there on the front end, which it kind of has to be if you're negotiating a power exchange scene, everything's usually fine. It's yeah. the times when we don't have those formalized things in place that it gets kind of hedgy.
Yeah.
Very true. All right. And with that, but let's cool it down with this. Crap. So let's get into Tumblr. Let's start off with my first link here, which for those of you who are not in the doc, Demon's going to paste into the chat room. Pups washing a pup. It's from Noodles and a Beef. And two of his pups are busy washing a little puppy. I think they call him Thor. Thor's first bath is what he says here. And I don't know about you, but hunky men like these two with a puppy just makes them all the more adorable.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the focus is strictly on the pup itself with the guys in him. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was adorable.
It is adorable.
It's adorable and very much to theme of what we were discussing today about pup play.
Yeah, it just kind of happened.
nice.
So there's the picture there. Sorry, I've got to do it in three places, so bear with me.
I got the next one for this.
Okay, thank you. So my Tumblr pick is called Uncomfortable Comfort. Uncomfortable Comfort. Two guys, two larger gentlemen, sprawled on a couch. And I call it Uncomfortable Comfort because if I could see that position, especially the one in front, mm-hmm. being a little uncomfortable out a while. But I think he wouldn't mind it because of who he's with and what they're doing and kind of thing. And I really like the picture. And I don't know if, I'm assuming this was definitely like Photoshop, Instagram kind of thing where mm-hmm. it's got all the weird little old timey borders and stuff, but it's very cute and sweet. Ben, what do you say?
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Only comfort was about, only was a comforter involved somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, it's still there. I think it's adorable too. It was one of the ones I found this week and I like it. So
nice.
Here.
So, my Tumblr pick does not have a title or a caption, but I've decided to title it Nightstick in the Daylight.
I'm afraid to see what this is.
Oh, stop it, David. It's actually safe for work, in a way. Oh.
In a way.
Relative.
In a way.
Well, you know. but because the topic for Let's Talk About Kink show today was respect and consent, it got me thinking about where that applies. And I was like, yeah, law enforcement. That's totally like a thing. So... Notably, this is a gentleman from chest to knee that's dressed in what we think is a uniform, but it doesn't technically look like a uniform. It's more like just something he put together. But he has a nightstick, and notably, he's using it a very specific way.
He's manipulating his bulge.
Yeah.
So all I know is that I would respect him and consent with him. So there you go.
Nice.
That's a very dangerous assumption to make.
And
am I next?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So mine is entitled "Worst Conversation Ever," and it's a cartoonish picture, and it's got several characters from you know kind of pop culture and etc. sitting around a table, and. They are Hodor, Pikachu, Beaker from like Bunsen and Beaker on the Muppets, the one who goes me 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 me. And
what does he do?
Me 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 me. And then you've got Timmy from South Park,
oh,
and Groot. from Guardians of the Galaxy. So everybody, like, you know, they're the folks who've got, like, the one line that say, I am Groot, Timmy, you know.
Pika, Pikachu!
You know. Yeah, and that's the worst. And they're all having tea around the table, and it's the worst conversation ever.
I
thought it was great.
That would definitely be because sorry, my mind is expanding because I'm like going like because ultimately they're all from different quote unquote realities, like they're all from different series. So it would not be possible for them to necessarily understand each other. But there's also a possibility that they would understand each other.
So, and if they did, they could have a podcast where they all did those noises for like an indeterminate length of time.
Ah, ha, ha. Oh, God. That
would just be- as long as there's consent, that's all I'm saying.
If they respect each other, what can we say? You know? That's right.
No bad touch. No bad touch. No bad touch.
I think.
Well, I don't have any Tumblr stuff, but I do have 14 views on Growler now.
Yay!
So, Chester had one.
I did throw one up there because it's something that I had in my queue for quite some time, and it finally came up today. And I call it Ginger Bath Time.
Mm-hmm.
The link. And this kind of looks like my friend David Wilson, but I don't believe it's him. But it is a pleasantly plump ginger bear in an old iron claw foot tub, and it's just, you know, my photographic aesthetics kick in, and yes, the gentleman is nice, but that's well lit and there's great contrast and balance to the photo, but
overall good composition.
Yes.
I'll need to look, but looking at his the profile and the tattoo down in his leg, I think it might be Buck Ramsey.
I kind of thought that too.
No idea who that is.
Yeah, I think that might be who he is. I'll need to go check some other pictures that I've posted. But I think that might be who it is.
Buck Ramsey is hot.
He's super hot.
Oh, no kidding.
Good touch. Yeah.
Lots of consent here.
Okay.
Wow. I am moving into our links. Unless anybody else had anything?
No, I think we're good.
Moving into our links. Mine is, I'm not sure if this is on Android too, but if you got iTunes and you got an iPhone, there's this game called Atomus or Atomus. I'm not sure. Atom, A-S. That's how it's spelled. We'll have a link in the show notes to it. And it's just this addicting game. So when I'm sitting there waiting for my script to run while I'm booking an order, I'll like get bored because it's taking so long, and I'll just open this up and put a few positions. And basically, all it is it's this game where the idea is to upgrade your atoms, and you upgrade the atoms by getting two of the same type of atom next to each other, and then you can get these, you'll randomly get these like red plus things that you put between them, and then they'll add together to get to the next level of atom.
Are you making molecules?
Kind of. It's not like if you take the total amount of the actual protons, electrons and neutrons of the atom and putting them together, it doesn't like upgrade it that far. It just goes up to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get like a series of these, so you have like two of one and then two of a different one on either side of them, they can collapse even further and create a higher molecule. And the goal is to get as high as you can. And it's all around this circle.
Mm.
And if you fill up the circle, you end the game. So every time you do those plus, you basically take two atoms at least and make it just one atom of a higher level.
Hmm.
And it's hard to explain without playing it, but it gets kind of addictive. And you on the phone, you could just like, oh, I have like 2 minutes. You start playing and then you have to go do something, you can just close it. You come back and you just pick up where you left off. And it's just this decision making of how to put them together. There's a way to sacrifice ones to create a new plus one and even move some around. And it has these really nice little ding sounds whenever you do a lot.
As he plays right now. So
it's a really fun game. I'm not sure if it's on Android. I haven't looked, but it's definitely on the iPhone. And
pick.
So that's my pick. Gary, what did you find?
Sort of tangentially tied to Chess's worst conversation ever, because he mentioned Beaker from the Muppets. I am a huge fan of Mental Floss on YouTube. Mental Floss is actually a magazine that you can subscribe to, but they have a YouTube channel and they do posts, and they have a series of different individuals, including John Green, who has written a couple of popular books. And so they basically do these like kind of like, here are things you never knew about chocolate, or, you know, things that everyone gets wrong about coffee, like just random, you know, kind of nonsensical things. But if you're a person who likes to be a font of useless knowledge, or
me.
Or would like to have to fill your head with bits of information that you could somehow bring into conversation, this is a YouTube video titled 20 Facts About the Muppets, featuring the Muppets. So the guy that's in it, and I forget his name, actually has Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog in it with him discussing things about the Muppets. So, and I'm excited because I'm a child of the decade, you know, and grew up watching the Muppet Show, and I'm holding reservation, but I am initially excited that they're coming back to TV this fall. So
nice.
Let's get that link to the group. Hold on. Sorry, I'm trying to. There we go.
And Chess, you have a link that I am highly intrigued by.
Oh, let me tell you. When I found this thing, I couldn't believe that I hadn't seen it before. It's the Superpower Wiki. It's basically a Wikipedia of every superpower you've ever seen in any comic book, movie, manga, anime, stuff out of Dungeons and Dragons shit. I mean, just like every superpower you think you've ever seen in pop culture, it's in there. And it's differentiated, like, by how it works. And, you know, things are like subsets of other powers. They've been very methodical. It's very obvious that the people who put this shit together are not only enormous geeks, they are fantastically huge nerds.
Oh, my God. It's
like, they are like nerd categorization, like, distinctions made. And they have, like, examples of how the power works. And it's – and they, like, have lists of, like, related powers. And there's one and the reason I found this is there was a post on Tumblr that said, click this link twice and those are your two superpowers. And there's a little thing that you can click and it'll send you to a random power, you know. And so some people, it's, you know, I can paint things on walls and they come to life, like in Cartoon Land, like the Roadrunner and shit. And then, you know, some people, you know, click on it and, you know, they get these demigod powers, and some people can do like airbending, waterbending, like. And so I just saw this post, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And I click and I look, and it's as much as I'm one of those weirdos who just loves linking around from Wikipedia article to Wikipedia article on just a topic that is fascinating to me at any given moment. I must have killed most of a Saturday looking through this superpower wiki. So if you have any delusions of geekhood at all, Go be entertained. Go let your brain fantasize about, ooh, I want to have that power, or, oh, what would it be like to do that? I mean, it's delicious.
Yeah. I'm gonna save it as a favorite. Mm-hmm. And I will probably go to it randomly at some point in the future and probably spend, like you said, probably a Saturday afternoon just
it's so good.
Because
I am highly amused by – I'm looking at the top 10 worst superpowers as voted by people on the website. And number one is alopecia, hair loss. worst superpower ever, apparently.
Well, hey, guys, you know what? We're running long. We got to go. Sorry.
All right.
We're gonna start exiting stage right. There's plenty of ways to contact us, but first I know that Shelby needs to get going. Shelby, where can people find you?
They can follow me on FetLife as Shelby Corgi, all one word.
Shelby Corgi. Yep. Yay! And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we ask you back.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to come back. Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. We did.
We'd love for you to come again.
Ooh, like bad touch, bad touch.
Oh, and go, how dare you, Ms. Tammy? That was a great touch.
But before I go, thank you for leaving your camera on. I appreciated all the eye candy.
You're welcome.
All right. Aww. The only ways to contact us in general, you can find Cubs Online at CubsOnline.com, which has a new header image. Yay!
Flail.
You can email us at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Tumblr, cubsoutloud.tumblr.com. Twitter, twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Google Plus, google.com/+cubsoutloud. BearUnderground.net, the official Bear website of cubsoutloud.com. Please join us over there in the COL entourage. I'll try to actually update that sometimes.
Woohoo.
Yeah, thank you, Gary, for making a big post to catch everybody up. Also, pop over to iTunes. Give us a review. Rate us. The more you do that, the more people will see us and join the love of this show. Something like that. I don't know. Also, pop over to StitcherRadio.net. You can give us a review there and also give us a thumbs up. We appreciate that very much. You can find me anywhere on the internet. It says box that box puppy, box cup, box something or other.
I am ThearCub79 on Bear401, Bear Underground, Tumblr, and HeftyNet. And I'll go ahead and own I am Nomad Cub on FetLife.
Alrighty then. And I am pretty much known anywhere on the web as GareBear73, be it a Bear website or a Tumblr or something in between.
Chess?
You can find me as FoxBear on Tumblr, Bear Underground, FetLife, Photocracy, etc.
Stick.
I am Stick Pup or Stick F Puppy. Well, definitely Stick Pup on FetLife as well as Twitter. I am one of the millions of James Smiths on Facebook because they stole my puppy name and they won't give it back to me. And I know, right? Horrible. Or I am, that's right. Oh, I also think I'm on Recon, but I never really use it.
So you're Husky Pup on Recon.
Yeah, and then I am, I'm also Husky Pup on Gear Fetish.
Sweet,
nice. Chester,
you can find me as the Pup up there on Tumblr and Shutter Pup on FetLife, and you can also friend me on Facebook and Google Plus.
Miss Tammy.
You can find me as Miss Tammy, MSTAMMY, on FetLife, and Miss Tammy on Growler, as of today, for as long as that lasts.
Yeah.
Now, Miss Tammy, is that all one word, or?
Yes, it's all one word.
M-S.
Just MSTAMMY, because I'm kind of creative like that.
Ms. And with that, say goodnight, everybody!
Bye. 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 Have a good one, y'all.